Our scripture comes from Hebrews 13th chapter 8 through 12 verse. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are no value to those who eat them. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood.
Magnificent, magnificent, magnificent. another of the Ten Commandments of the home, and would encourage your Bibles to be open to Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 8 through 12. I'm not going to read it again, but I would like you to follow along as we look at another of the Ten Commandments of the home. We've looked at several. We've looked at how to be a loving house. And I know some of you may protest and say, well, these aren't really commandments for the home, are they? But I think if you will read that chapter, many of these do pertain specifically to the home. And I think that when you consider that the home is really a microcosm of our society, if I could use kind of a big philosophical term, but it's really the building block of our society. And as the home goes, so goes the society. So we've looked at how to be a loving house. And that's the first commandment that we find in Hebrews chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. And then how to be an open house, a hospitable house, if you will, and a kind house, an honorable house, a contented house, an orderly house. So those six, six commandments. And the seventh is how to be a faithful house. Today we visit a faithful house, if you will. I hope it's not just a visit. And I hope it's not just in one ear and out the other, or in one door and out the other, if you want to use that analogy. But how to be a faithful house, a house of faith, a household of faith. I've noticed that most people, if they get married, which marriage seems to be one of the endangered species of our society, but they usually go to a church, and they usually make vows to be faithful to one another. And to have a household of faith. Now, all of us have good intentions, but I want to share with you how to have that faithful house, that house of faith. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And many homes have that emblazoned on a wall somewhere, in a plaque perhaps. We had a house that had, already before we even moved in, had it there on a plaque on the front door. And I thought, well, what a wonderful ideal. Something to strive for, to be that household of faith, that house where we serve the Lord together. Well, faith is another indispensable component of making a house a home. And I want us to look at three ingredients of a faithful house. If you'll look at your scripture passage there, it says Jesus Christ, this is in verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, you cannot have that household of faith unless you have Christ in that home. And unless Christ is central in that home. I think that's the whole purpose of that verse 8 occurring in this list of commands here. Because we need to keep Christ central in our homes. The unchanged Christ. He is unchanged in His person. You remember when Jesus went back to heaven, the angel said, this same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. I'm very comforted by that, to know that the Jesus that I serve and love is the same Jesus that walked this earth, the same Jesus that went to Calvary, the same Jesus that rose triumphant over the grave. I want you to, if you can, to come back tonight. We're going to, Lord willing, show a video and pray for that. It seems like the devil has kind of gotten into some of our technical things here. We've made some changes, as you can tell. And I always dread that because I know that there's going to be some problems with the sound and so forth. But we're going to show it. I know the Lord wants us to show it. And we have the video prepared and ready to show. And it's a expose, if you will, of the novel and the movie, the Da Vinci Code. So come tonight. I know God is going to bless you and challenge you. But the reason why I share that is because Christ is being attacked. Christ is the Son of God. Is being attacked. He is no longer considered deity if we believe the Da Vinci Code, Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code. And of course, Dan, this is nothing new. These beliefs, these challenges to faith have been around for a long time. But I want to also call to your attention that not only does the unchanged Christ have a person, He has a persistence. Here it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Most of us change a little bit. Some of us change more than others. If you've been to a reunion lately, you've probably had somebody come up to you that you didn't even know, but it was your best friend. Of course, they changed, but you didn't change. But we change. But Jesus Christ, it says, is the same yesterday and today and forever. And some people not only change in appearance, as we all do, but they change in personality. And one day they may seem very sweet and pleasant, and then the next day, look out, because they're not the same. Now, that's true of most of us, isn't it? But Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. And there is a permanence in that. Forever. He is the only one who lived before He was born. From everlasting to everlasting, the psalmist said, Thou art God. And John in John chapter 1 says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And of course, that Word was Jesus Christ. And not only was He in the beginning, He created this world. Colossians chapter 1 says, He created the universe. But He will be there to eternity future. I love the verse in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17 where it says, We will be caught up when Jesus comes again. We'll be caught up to meet Him in the air. And those who have died in Christ before us. And we will meet in the air together. And then it says, So shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm looking forward to the streets of gold. I'm looking forward to, I was going to say riding my bike. I don't know that I won't be able to take the bike I have, but maybe I'll get a golden bike. But I won't have some of the pains that I have now and some of the infirmities. But I'm not as infirm as some who perhaps have even lost limbs. But the Bible says that we're going to be whole. And there's not going to be any infirmities due to age in heaven. And I'm looking forward to that. But most of all, I'm looking forward to being forever with the Lord. The one who loved me and gave Himself for me. So the unchanged Christ, if Christ is not in your home, make sure that you invite Him. First of all, invite Him into your hearts. And then invite Him into your homes. Make Him central in your home. So that anyone who comes into your home would know that Christ is there. But there's also the ingredient of an uncompromised grace. If you'll look at the scripture passage there. In verse 9, it's carried away by all kinds of teachings. And we certainly have some strange teachings today, don't we? Many challenges to our faith. Many challenges that would try to shake our faith and make us wonder, well, you know, is the Da Vinci Code really true? Or could it be that Jesus actually and Mary Magdalene had a thing going and they actually secretly got married and had a child and then the suggestions that Jesus wasn't really divine and all of this is a big cover-up. Well, to the ignorant, yes, they have an appeal, but if you'll take the time to study the Scriptures, you'll find that it's not only reasonable, it's historic. These are historic facts. And those who proclaimed it in that first generation were those who had firsthand knowledge of it. I want us to look at the uncompromised grace here. Because what the devil wants us to do is to think that there is something that we can add to salvation. That's human pride. We want to do something, you know, since we were kids, you know, I want to do it myself. And we're that way about salvation. There's something that we want to bring to it. But grace is simply unmerited favor. It's a free gift. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, It's by grace that we are saved through faith. And even that faith is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. One mark of a cult is a refusal to acknowledge the uncompromised grace of God. One well-known group teaches that salvation is by grace, but we must abide in obedience in order to continue in that grace. But didn't Paul refute that when he said, Having begun in the faith, are you then made perfect by works? Salvation is all of grace from the beginning to the end. There's nothing that we can do to deserve it. If each of us had what we deserved, I believe we'd be in hell today. But because of the grace of God, shown by sending His Son to die for us on Calvary, we have eternal life. So there is an uncompromised grace in that house. We've talked about its corruption. What is the correction? Well, it says simply, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. Now, whether it's ceremonial foods or other rituals that we follow, if we are trying to add to what God has given as a free gift, then it's not a free gift anymore. It's not grace. And in that home, there ought to be grace. Now, I believe in corporal punishment. I believe it's necessary in society. But I also believe it's necessary in the home. And not only necessary, God has commanded it. He said to use the rod when necessary. But also there is a time of grace. where we forgive one another. You say, well, you know, I'll forgive them if they come to me and ask forgiveness, but I'm not going to forgive them. Well, that's not grace. You haven't learned the lesson of grace. Jesus actually told a parable about that. He said that there was a man who has forgiven a great debt. It was in the millions today of dollars. And what was the first thing he did when he went out from that place where he met with his creditor? He grabbed another servant by the throat and he said, pay me what you owe me. And he just owed him a few dollars. Well, that's forgotten grace. So we have many corrections in the Word of God to this. And that grace is to continue. It says it is good for our hearts to be strengthened with grace. We need to continue in that grace of God. And we need to make grace primary in our home. Just as love was the first commandment of the home. Love and grace are really, I suppose you could say, two sides to the same coin. You can't have one without the other. And so we need to not only experience the grace of God and live in that grace, but we also need to practice it toward others, within the home and without the home. There's also here the ingredient of an unconquered cross. Here it says in verse 10, we have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. And then it says the high priest carries the blood of the animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go forth to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. There is an altar here. And every home has an altar. And usually it doesn't take you very long to detect what that altar is. And it may not be an altar in the Old Testament sense where, you know, you have literal sacrifices. I've heard some meals described as burnt sacrifices, but it's not that stove that you have at home. Unless that's where you worship. But it's the place where you worship. And where you present yourself to God as the Bible says, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him. That's the altar that we ought to have in our homes. Every home ought to have if it's a Christian home, a place where the family prays together. It may be the meal table. But where they come together in a common faith. And you may have a family where you're not of the same faith. Where you have unsaved people in the family. But if you are a parent, then it's your obligation to train up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, isn't it? So there's an unconquered cross. It's altar. It's atonement is spoken of here. Here it says that Jesus also suffered outside the city gate. And then it says, and he, of course, shed his blood on the cross. And then it says, let us therefore go forth to him outside the camp. But it speaks of the atonement of Christ. And I think that gets back to why we sometimes have difficulty forgiving one another's sins. Because number one, we may forget that our sins have been atoned for if we've come to Christ and to his cross. But we may have also forgotten that brother or sister's in Christ's sins have been atoned for. Atonement just simply means at-one-ment. We have been made at one with God through that cross of Jesus Christ. We need to lift high that cross in our homes. And that's the affiliation. We are affiliated with Christ in his sufferings. That word is actually a Latin word, isn't it, Jonathan? You studied Latin. You don't remember that? Filial, isn't filial, doesn't that come from the Latin word for brother? But anyway, it means a brotherly connection. We have affiliations. We're affiliated with, for example, the Southern Baptist Convention. And we have a local association that we're affiliated with. It means that we consider one another as brothers and sisters. And the Bible says that we can call Christ our brother because he died for us on the cross. We need to lift high that cross. The hymn writer wrote, in the cross of Christ I glory. And we ought to glory in it in our homes. Towering o'er the wrecks of time, all the light of sacred story gathers round its head sublime. Bane and blessing, pain and pleasure, by the cross are sanctified. Peace is there that knows no measure, joys that through all time abide. May God give us faithful houses. And may we seek, like Joshua, to say, and to practice. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.